So my first duty is to introduce our presenter today, Viktor Bajanov. He's a consultant at Quantium with extensive experience in marketing analytics. He specializes in applying actuarial techniques outside their traditional roles and has found such applications in industries ranging from financial services and telecommunications to online directories and e-commerce. He focuses especially on the areas of online strategy and search engine marketing. Viktor holds a Bachelor of Actuarial Studies degree from the ANU, and he's an associate of the Institute of Actuaries of Australia, although he tells me he's just sat what will hopefully be his final exam, the Commercial Actuarial Practice course, so hopefully we'll be hearing that he's a fellow soon.
All right, thanks, Donald. So today's talk is about... very stable. Today's talk is about search engine marketing and an actuarial approach. So we'll talk a bit about, firstly, just online advertising and its importance in Australia over the past few years and in the future. And then we'll talk about sort of what sort of ads are available for sale in the within the online channel, and specifically what search advertising relates to. And then after that, we'll have a look at how we can apply some... Well, firstly, we'll look at what existing methods are available to track performance and to optimize, I guess, your strategy. And then we'll look at how we can apply some actuarial techniques that have had great success in more traditional areas to get ahead. So, and just the actually one last point that we'll talk about is considering online as just part of a holistic strategy, instead of just looking at each channel independently. All right, so online advertising's getting pretty big. In 2007, I think it's financial year 2007, $1.3 billion was spent on it in Australia, which is about 12% of the total. But you know, in 2002, that number was $200 million, so you can see that it's grown quite substantially, about 60% a year. And at the current rate of growth, it'll take over Metro Press in 2010, and it'll become the top category by 2012. So, obviously, a big market. So, within online, you have what are called general display ads, and that includes sort of banners and inserts that you see on a lot of websites. A lot of them are animated these days, and I've got an example here of the Sydney Morning Herald, and then you've got a little inset here with an advertisement for Citibank Visa. So that's an example of that one. Also, we've got classifieds, which are sites like eBay Motors, Trading Post, Seek for careers. So we've just got an example of Trading Post, and people can list whatever they want to sell there. And finally, we have search and directories. So search and directories relates to marketing within search engines. So someone types in a keyword, and you can purchase for a specific keyword that the search provider will display your advertisement when the person has made that search. And it's considered to be one of the most targeted because the person's already displayed that they're interested in whatever you're selling because they're actually searching for those keywords in the first place. So we'll have a look at Google, which is the biggest search provider worldwide, and just a typical results page. So the first thing we have is what's called the organic results. These can't be bought, if you like. They're just sort of based on how relevant each web page is to the words being searched, and Google have a super secret algorithm they use to work out which pages should rank highly for which keywords. Which is very dynamic. So people think of it as just a one-off thing that they've done and they've patented, but really it's undergone massive changes over the course of the last sort of 5 years as people work out new ways to game it, and then Google sort of stays one step ahead of them. And a whole industry exists around optimizing your website to be higher in these rankings, which is called search engine optimization, but that's not what we'll be talking about today. So next you've got the sponsored links, which happen at the top and down the right here. And so you can see these look a lot more like advertisements. Instead of having a little summary, which is a blurb from the page being sort of indexed, you have a line which is very obviously written by the company presenting the ad. So you can save hundreds of dollars, and you can see that I searched for the word car insurance, and you can see that the ads are quite relevant to what I'm looking for. All right, so you can see down the right. Now, sometimes the right ones don't appear. Sometimes the top one don't appear. So Google does have a sort of random element to the way these are displayed. And if you do the same search, you won't get the same sponsored links each time. And final point to note is it's possible to have one company appearing in both the organic and the sponsored results. So they're pretty much independent. And in this case, we have Just Car Insurance in the organic results, and the sponsored ad just making it to the bottom of the screen there. So basically, the way that these are sold is through what's called a Vickery auction, which is just a fancy word for the sort of regular auction that everyone's familiar with. But unlike a normal auction, you can't see the price that everyone is bidding. So you basically put in your bid, and the highest bidder wins the top position, but pays the price of the second highest bidder for that position. So, but then, because there are multiple slots available, basically it says that the higher your bid, the higher up the ladder you can potentially be. And the search provider, in this case, will look at Google, aims to maximize the revenue that they get, which is a function of both the bid and the number of clicks that they get, because your bid is for per click, not the number of times your ad is shown or anything like that. So if you're basically, it means it's not enough to have a really high bid. You really need to have an advert that's relevant and that gets people clicking on it. Otherwise, quite quickly, you'll drop off the results page. So we'll move on to current practice in measuring how effective some of the strategies sort of are. So the most common is just manual judgment, and that's basically you look at the results page and you say, well, I want to be in the top three, or I want to be in the top spot, or I want to be at the top, not in the right, and is the top position in the right panel that we saw sort of, is being here better than being here? Or does it make no difference? And so basically you look and you decide. That's not really practical, because if you have a large number of keywords, and some companies have literally millions of keywords that they buy, obviously it's impossible to track your result for every single one in that sort of fashion. And obviously the subjective element involved is may not be borne out in the actual results. So you might think that it's really important to be number one instead of number three, but it may turn out that you're wasting money because in practice there's no result. Or you might think that being the top of the right column is just as good as being in the top here, but it may not be the case and you have no visibility of that. So another method is what's called iScan, and basically, a company did a study where they got some volunteers and they made them wear these special vision tracking goggles that track the position of their eyes to see where they're looking, and then had them doing some Google searches. So you can see that people look a bit where they type the search query, and then a huge number of people look here in this corner, which is where the top sponsored link is. It's sort of hard to see, but there is one sponsored link in the screenshot, and that would be around there. Not many people look over to the right, and very few people look below the red line. So if you're not near the top, you really don't get an opportunity. So based on that, you can assign, a goodness to each position. So you could say the top one is worth 10 points, and this one is worth 5 points, and this one is worth 3 points. And then by looking at where your advertisement appears in the search results, work out a share of voice. So if you've got 10 points out of a total possible 50, that would give you a 20%, sorry. again, that's got the same sort of shortcomings as the manual judgment, in that even though people may look here or here more, it may not actually drive sales to have, you know, or drive clicks. People might only glance here and click, whereas everyone might look here, but only a small portion will actually click. So, and again, it's only based on one study. So, and finally, it's not practical for huge numbers of keywords either. So, but, you know, it's slightly more scientific than the previous version. Next thing is to look at, rather than looking just at clicks, work out what you're actually, what actually drives your bottom line. So in some cases, you might have applications or inquiries, or if you're selling directly over the web, you might even track sales that click through the adverts. And then based on how much you've spent on the campaign, you can work out an average cost per inquiry, cost per sale, or cost per click. Cost per click is a very common way of measuring effectiveness in the online world. And cost per sale, cost per application are quite common in other direct marketing channels and even above the line campaigns. So, yep, so the main problems with this is that typically they're averaged over some time period. So looking at your average cost per whatever it is over the past day or the past week, and it doesn't give you a visibility of how that varies over time. And it also means that to test something like a different creative for your advertisement, so having a different tagline or a different page that you land on after you click, you have to really have distinct time periods that you put one, then the other, and then you compare the cost per click. So looking at the average statistics, you don't really see what the customer sees. You just see a number, and it's hard to link that up to what actually drives the customer's behavior. And the final point is a lot of your strategy may have a different effect depending on what your competitors are doing. So if you're in the top three, if you're, say, advertising credit cards, you might be a major bank. And if you're the only major bank in any of the sponsored results, you might have a very different effectiveness to if you're number one, but then the next three are the other four, you know, the rest of the four big banks, your big competitors. That's going to affect quite strongly how many people click on your ad. But looking at average cost per click, you really have no visibility of what's going on with that. So that's a serious drawback. So there's a product available called SearchScan, which polls Google every 15 minutes and collects the sponsored and organic results and then links them up to the entities that place the ad or that own the search result. And a system like this, we'll just go through this chart, so maybe see what sort of story it tells. So looking at this, the dots represent different companies, and it's every 15 minutes, so we've got time across here, and the rank down the side. So number one is the top in the top three, and then the four represents the top of the right-hand panel that we saw earlier. So looking at this, Citibank holds the top spot from sort of morning until after lunch, one-ish, but then disappears off the radar completely. And what might be happening here is that within the Google ad interface, when you purchase your ads, you can specify the bid that you're placing, but also you can specify a daily limit saying, I'll pay $1 per click, but up to a maximum of $100 a day, because I don't want to blow all my budget in the first day. And what might be happening to Citibank is that around 1 p.m., their daily budget limit is exhausted because they're looking maybe at a metric that doesn't show them this view. It's possible they don't even know that that's happening, or, you know. So that's, you know, an example of why it's quite important to have a visibility of what's actually going on the results page. So next thing is ANZ appears this one sort of 15-minute window and then disappears. I don't really know why. It is the case that Google does add a random element to the results. Otherwise, the incumbent sort of top position holder would never be dislodged, because being in the best spot, they get the most clicks. And even if you put a higher bid, your ad would have initially a very low number of clicks because it hasn't been displayed very much. So unless Google sort of adds a random element and puts new bidders at the top for a short time to give them a chance to build up the volume, it wouldn't really work. So this could be just an example of that, but then maybe not many people were clicking, so they disappeared again. All right, Bankwest is the orange dots, and they seem to be all over the place here. And then down around fourth or fifth, once Citibank disappears, they bump up a spot to third and fourth. And they could be just testing different strategies. It could be that they entered a bid sort of shortly before, and it hasn't yet stabilized because Google is randomly varying their position. As the ad gets more actual experience, then its rank sort of stabilizes on the page. So it's useful to know that if you change a bid, it's effective almost immediately. So you can have strategies that you implement very quickly as a response to something like this. It's not you have to wait until the next day or even the next sort of 6 hours to correct something like this. If you know this has happened, you can log on straight away and change the budget or whatever you need to do, and it would be effective almost immediately. So this could be actually Bankwest changing the strategy to see what works and work out what the price they have to pay is to get a different rank on the ladder, and then deciding that this is the optimal cost-benefit trade-off for them. And the green dots, NAB, appear to be consistently in the top three. So basically, depending on the strategy they adopt, it could be just random variation on Google. They could be aiming for second spot, or they could have decided that being in the top three is their aim. Again, looking at this, you can vary your bid and then look at the resulting impact on your rank and work out how much you need to pay to be in a specific rank. Google doesn't quite tell you. They tell you a very broad indication only when you put your bid. And obviously they can't tell you because they don't know in advance what sort of click volumes your ad will receive. So looking at this data, and this is just an aggregate summary which can be presented many different ways. We've sort of chosen one here. But the gist is that it's over time, and every 15 minutes we have every result that appears. And using the time factor, we can line this up with other data from our own website. So after the people have clicked through and they're on our website, we can track what they do, whether they actually inquire or buy. We can use this to model the effects of different advertisements or different times of day or the week, and competitors' bids. So something like a GLM or any other modeling technique that are quite entrenched in the actuarial world would be good at picking up the individual effects of all these different factors and more. And the real aim is to have a predictive model that will say, if you spend this much, then that will be the effect on your bottom line. And that's the first step towards being able to optimize how you actually spend. So the first question is, which keywords do you get? And then for each keyword, you want to be able to test various scenarios that say, if we make this strategy relative to our competitors at this time with this advertisement text, this will be the outcome in terms of our sales or inquiries. And the final point for today is when you're optimizing just one channel, it's easy to lose sight of the whole picture. And there's a common story, like if you think of the example of someone getting up in the morning and they maybe see an ad on the TV of a breakfast for some product. And then later on, they go out and get the bus to work and they see the same product advertised on the side of the bus. Or maybe they drive to work, they hear it on the radio. when they get to their desk, they might stop by the common room and have a flick of the paper, and they'll see a print ad for the same product, you know, whatever it is. And then finally, they, you know, it's lunchtime, and they've got it in their head, so they do a Google search, and they click the link, and then maybe it's something that they want, so they end up actually purchasing or inquiring about it. That sale is then attributed entirely to the link that they clicked through the tracking. If they looked at the print ad and they rang up the call center and they said that this is the source code, that would be entirely attributed to the print ad. Whereas in reality, it's the combination of all the ads that they saw during the day that actually drove that sale, and it's not correct to sort of attribute it to just one channel. And it's quite common, basically, this is the way that it's done. It's, So we have to really consider the importance of online as just one part of a strategy involving every other sort of both above and below the line channel. And through some previous work we've done, we've got this and the scale sort of been dummied up to start at 100 just to protect confidentiality. But if we look here, we've got annual spend on advertising, and here we've got the number of inquiries that we can expect. And this is an efficient frontier, so it's possible to have a point here, say, but that's not efficient. Obviously, for the same money, you could go higher. So this line represents the inquiries that you can get. That's all right. That basically, if you want to have more, you have to spend more money. It's not possible for the same cost to get any more inquiries. And then we look at the actual mix of channels as a proportion on the right axis here that generates this frontier. And the blue, sorry, the legend's not really visible there, but the blue is online. And then we can see that for the first just under sort of 300,000, we can spend money entirely in just online and get quite a steep return for the number of inquiries. But after that, really, we can't get any more gains because the channel becomes saturated. So spending more money in this area doesn't give any benefit, so you have to add some other channels as well. So, and we'll look at the yellow is press, so newspapers and magazines, and the orange is regional TV, and the red is metro TV. And you can see up here, online, it's important to know this is a proportion, so we're not taking money out of online, it's just the total amount of money becomes higher, so its proportion shrinks. And up here at 2 million, we're only spending sort of less than a quarter of our budget on online and nearly half on Metro TV. And this is because at some point you've got all the keywords that matter and you've got the top spot on all of them. So you can't really gain anything more from that channel by spending more money there. So that brings us to the end. I guess, are there any questions?
Just with questions. We don't have a roving mic in this room because it's quite small. So you can either come up here and ask your question or speak loudly. I've got a question to start then, Victor. It's Donald Campbell again. You mentioned the actuarial approach. Are companies using this already? How prevalent is it in the industry, or is this something that is new and sort of needs to be pushed and proven to the sort of the marketing world that it's an effective approach?
There's basically, there's two questions, okay? So there's this question of optimizing the mix between channels. And there's something that Quantium does that uses a very actuarial approach to answer this question that's seeing quite a lot of traction now. And that's basically, it's a product called MediaCube, which basically uses GLMs to work out the individual effects of every channel on your leads. So in that sense, it's quite sort of, it's getting there. In the online world, from what we found, there's not much actually. There's a lot of companies that offer tracking, and a lot of the tracking is quite sophisticated. So Google have their own tracking service called Google Analytics, which you can, in combination with purchasing ads, add to your site, and it tells you all sorts of interesting things about how many visitors were there, where they came from, which ads they clicked through, what countries they're from, what browsers they're using, all this sort of interesting stuff. But there's nothing there about actually building a predictive model, which is really, at least in general insurance, what the actual approach is all about. And there's a few other companies like Hitwise that basically do similar things and offer an analysis sort of service as well as the tracking. So they'll give you the tracking and then they'll charge you a bit of money to actually tell you what it all means. But as far as we're aware, they don't actually use any kind of predictive model either. They sort of use just experienced analysts who can look at it and say, well, this is what we think is going on. To summarize, I guess, no, there isn't much of the predictive model sort of approach being used at all. And we believe that the gains to be made from doing this are extremely good. So it really should be pushed, and hopefully we'll see more in the future of people applying a more scientific approach that that will, at the end of the day, make them more money. So.
Okay, we've still got about 10 or 15 minutes for questions.
Okay. So, Kevin, the question was, how often do companies change the bids in the auctions for top position? It's a good question. Typically, a company will hire an agency to actually book these ads the same way that they do for television and radio and press. So usually the media agencies will have a small subsidiary that they've either started or bought out at some point that specializes in online, both search engine optimization of the organic results, so building up their website to rank higher, and booking these ads. And the keywords they book are basically decided by a sort of joint process between the buyer and the agency. So the agency recommends something, and the buyer will say, oh, these are the words we really care about. In terms of how often they change their bids, that depends very heavily on the agency, more so than the company. And we've seen some examples of agencies that basically put the bid and leave it. And then this sort of example with Citibank. Now, I don't have any inside information on Citibank. So my hypothesis is that someone's done this. They set what seemed like a reasonable set of constraints. This is the bid. This is the daily budget. You know, do the maths. All works out. And they've never actually monitored the results, so they're probably not even aware that this is happening. Obviously, this isn't beneficial for Citibank to halfway through the day just drop off the results. So some other companies may be changing their bids quite a bit, and it could be as part of a strategy to just determine what the right bid is to get the rank they want without, I guess, facing the upside risk of other people coming in and raising the bid higher. So if you want the top spot, it's easy. You just put 999999 as your bid and then pray that no one else has done the same, because you'll be paying the second highest bid per click. But that's not really sort of wise. But if you're looking to get a third or fourth spot, it's actually quite difficult to know. Because if you put your bid too high, well, you'll get second or first, and maybe you didn't want to spend the money. You thought you'd be happy with third and better spend the money on a different keyword. So changing the bids as part of the discovery process is, again, different to changing them once they're in there. And I think it varies a lot by company. I think there are companies who take a very sophisticated approach to this bidding process, and there are other companies who leave it entirely to the agency, and for the agency is just 12% of the advertising that they're actually booking for that client. So it gets sort of it gets put on the bottom of the priority list. I'll just repeat the question for the benefit of the recording. So the question is, is the bid process for search providers that dissimilar to the process by which other ads, TV, supermarket placement, whatever, sort of happens? Is that correct? Yeah. So I think the main difference, Mark, is that with the search providers, the thing that drives the position is this bid value times the number of clicks, whereas something like a TV ad, they're not really interested in the number of clicks, because putting the ad there, they get paid. The TV station gets paid to air the ad at the time, whether anyone rings up as a result or not. So they don't really care whether the ad is effective. All they're interested in is the highest, if you like, bid for that time slot. Whereas with Google, their revenue drives is per click. So if they show your ad and no one clicks it, it doesn't matter how high the bid, they won't actually get much revenue. So I think the key difference is the fact that it's dependent not only on the bid value, but the actual performance of the advert. Has that sort of answered it?
Yes, yeah, so it sounds like supermarket plays in the market is the volume that's
actually generated. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, so it's quite similar. I haven't studied, to be honest, supermarket placement that much, but it's definitely plausible that if they were to use an actuarial model to determine on which shelf to place the different products, then I think that they would end up with something quite similar to what you'd use for this. So the question was, how does it work for variations of keywords and multiple words? So the example of someone buying car insurance and the person searching for motor car insurance.
Sorry, and if we could have your name and company, please.
Paul Nuttall. Okay.
Paul Nuttall. Okay, thank you.
So I think it's the way it works is the keyword you actually buy isn't the individual word. It's the word or phrase. So if you want to buy car insurance, you have to buy car insurance as it stands. You can also buy car and insurance. The chances are that the individual words will be less relevant to your advertisement because you're competing with other things that are relevant. Someone searching for general information on cars might type in car, and they may not be interested in car insurance. Similarly, someone who types in just insurance may be interested in home insurance or life insurance or whatever else. So the way the keywords work is that if you want car insurance to show ad, you have to buy it separately from. So if you wanted every combination, you'd actually buy three keywords, car, insurance, and car insurance together. And if you wanted insurance car, that would be a separate keyword as well. So I think in some cases, Google applies some intelligence to subsetting. So if, let's say, motor car insurance is a bit obscure and it doesn't have any bidders, no one's bid on motor car insurance, then when you search for motor car insurance, you may get some sponsored links where they've actually only paid for car insurance. But that's because Google want to fill that space when it's not there, when there's no sponsored links there that have paid for that specific keyword. If someone then went on and bid for the actual word, obviously their adverts would take precedence in the ranking. Yep, the question was, how long in advance do you have to place the bids? Basically, we've done a bit of an experiment, and it doesn't say anywhere on the interface how long it takes to take effect. Some things it does, so if you want to change a daily limit, that takes 24 hours to update. But the actual words seem to kick in within anywhere between sort of half an hour and 2 hours, depending on luck and so on. So it's probable that the server that serves the ads is reading it from a separate database every however long, and the back-end database is what you update when you're changing whatever you need to change. So it can be quite quick. Certainly you can react to changes in the competitor landscape very quickly. And it's what makes it very different to mediums like print, where you've booked out that month's magazine or, you know, every paper that week or whatever, and different to TV where you typically have to book a month in advance. So you definitely can book ahead. But you do have to monitor continuously because there's a risk that whatever strategy you had planned will no longer be effective by the time the time actually ticks over. So, and that's why automated systems that can alert you when certain things happen can be very valuable. So if Citibank had a service that monitored this and alerted them when their ad stopped showing, maybe they emailed the right person or sent a message to their phone or whatever, then they'd know straight away if they've been outbidden, knocked off, or if something else has gone wrong and they need to fix it. Yeah, that's it, search scan. To my knowledge, there's not that many that provide the alerts, actually. So there's quite a few. I know Hitwise is a big one that provides aggregate statistics and strategy. As far as we know, there's not that many, or if any, that provide this continuous monitoring every 15 minutes that can then say, some conditions happened that you're interested in. Here's an email about it. I guess the end game is to have a fully automatic system that just looks at this and says, you know, our target is to be this far ahead of this competitor, and then looks at where the competitor is and then says, oh, so they're number three, we want to be number two, one above them. And based on our continuously monitored analysis of the bid prices, we should set our bid at $1.57 to get there. That's, I guess, the end game, to have a predictive system that does that for as many keywords as you like. Yep, so the question is, how do you incorporate the actual behavior of the clickers into your strategy? So I guess with the example about banking and people typing bank to do their online banking, it's actually very common. So there are some people who will type, instead of going to the website, will just type in Commonwealth Bank, if that's their bank, and click on the sponsored link because it's the top one, just because they want to get to their website so they can log on to NetBank, and they don't buy anything. And the way you can incorporate this is by having a model that doesn't predict the clicks, but actually links this data to the final result and predicts the sales or the inquiries to your credit cards or home loans or, you know, car insurance or what have you. And that way you'll pick up that even though there's a high volume of clicks, there's maybe a much lower volume in sales because maybe people tend not to buy their car insurance over the lunch hour. Or maybe they do, I don't know. And that's how you'd incorporate it. So you try to pick up basically the pure effect of when in the day you are, how far you are from the competitors and so on. And something like a GLM framework that isolates individual factors and their effects would be very good at doing this. And in terms of the insights it will provide, you would look at that and you'll say, well, lunchtime is a really bad time. But conversely, times when Citibank aren't around are really good, rather than seeing the mixed effect. And you'd see that effect not on the clicks, which, to be honest, are just costing you money. You'd see that on the actual conversions that you make. So, I mean, it could be that you actually don't want to be there at lunchtime and you make your bidding strategy accordingly, and that'll make your cost per sale much lower because you're not paying for all these dud clicks over the lunch hour when no one's going to buy it anyway. So you just take yourself off the list and then reappear at 3 o'clock when the people who click are actually interested in buying something. On online ads specifically, most of them get reporting back from the agency. And the reporting is in terms of this, I won't go through this build again, but it's in terms of the cost per click, cost per inquiry sometimes, as very rarely goes beyond click, actually. The reporting for this display category is typically cost per 1,000 impressions, and classifieds are sort of a separate animal because you just, pay for the listing. But I guess it's rarely very sophisticated is the thing to sort of take away. Quite often it's aggregate for either daily or even just for a week or for a month, which is really doesn't give you much scope to drill down. I mean, most agencies would be open to just giving them the low-level data, but again, a lot of companies don't want to have to analyze that. They want their agency to get the best strategy for them. That's what they see that they're paying for. So, or even just provide the service. Because if you're a bank, your core business isn't placing online ads. it's banking. So ideally, you might want just someone to do it for you and do it well. Yes, there is.
Sorry, can we just have your name and company, please? Right, yeah. No worries, thank you. That was, for everyone, that was the 5-minute bell, so we've still got 5 minutes.
Okay. So the question was, if two people are trying to use a predictive model to optimize their strategy, can it be the case that both of them end up with a suboptimal result as a result of that? Is that...
Yes.
Okay. So I think you're right, and I don't think we've got to that stage yet. I think so far we're still working to get to the one person using any predictive model. And even after that, it'd be a far cry from just using the predictive model to actually having an optimization algorithm that runs using that model. So I think the risk of that in the near term is quite low, but I agree that it becomes a very complicated game once two people are using an automatic algorithm, especially if they're direct competitors and their strategies involve each other's ranking. So I guess a simple example of if your target is one rank above your competitor and then their target is one rank above you, the model tends to break down. And typically, optimization algorithms tend to find these little errors and stretch them to the maximum extent until the people who are monitoring them shut them off because, you know, it's silly. And I guess that's why it's important not just to have a system that that does its thing and no one sort of looks, but to have safeguards in place such as various levels of alerts and this complicated monitoring that people will actually look at. With something like this, along with your strategy, you'd have some very sophisticated alerting, not just for when have you dropped off or when has your rank changed, but certainly you'd have something around the bids and the spend. The bids that are actually being placed would have to be subject to sensible limits and so on. And I guess you don't want to just limit them. You want to actually observe what happens, get the alert, and then look at it and work out that your algorithm's gone in a race to the top spot with the competitor's algorithm. So I think it's a very interesting area, and I don't think very much research has been done into what actually happens there. And I think it's quite likely, one thing that I haven't sort of mentioned, that Google could change their game as well. So they could see that people are using predictive models to do this, and they could vary the way that they place the ads. So there's a lot of variables that you can't really know in advance until you've tried.
Okay, well, we've reached the end of our time today, so thank you all very much for attending. I'd just like to thank Victor for his presentation. I'm sure we've learned a lot, I certainly have, about internet search and advertising and how actuaries could be involved to improve the whole process. Thank you, Victor.
Thanks, Douglas.